Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father,
I am a poor, miserable sinner. Confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord is my rock and my fortress.
O Lord, graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequence of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Is from Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on to the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before them, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in the name in times of trouble.
And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever.
Arise, O Lord. Let not man prevail.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10. Do you not know that in a race all runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized in Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Therefore, with most of them, God was not pleased, but they were overthrown in the wilderness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Here.
St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
My kingdom is not of this world. That's what Jesus says to Pontius Pilate. It's also what he makes vividly clear time and time again in his parables, like the one before us this morning. His kingdom is not of this world. It does not follow the principles of this world. Far from it. His is the kingdom not of equity and fairness, but of grace. He pays the one who works only 1 hour the same as the one who works all day. It's his kingdom. He can do what he wants. And it's not fair. It's grace. The last are first, and the first are last. The rich are poor, and the poor are rich. The mighty are brought low, and the humble are exalted. The strong are weak, and the weak are strong. Tax collectors and prostitutes enter his kingdom before the religious elites. Christ's kingdom is not of this world. And any attempt to understand his kingdom based on human reason and worldly wisdom will always fail. His thoughts and ways are not our thoughts and ways. We grumble against the Lord primarily because we insanely want his kingdom to be of this world. We want it to make sense to us. And let's be honest, grace makes no sense. Fairness makes sense. We want the first to be first and the last to be last. We want people to reap what they sow. We want to be paid in proportion to how hard we work. We want our rights recognized, and we want justice to prevail. Heck, we even want karma to be true, that what goes around comes around in the end, and people will finally get what they deserve. All of this is evidence of our utter depravity and our very deep sickness. We begrudge the Lord's generosity, not only because we are selfish, but even more so because we are self-deceived. We forget who we are. We forget our place. We absurdly think that the Lord owes us something, that we deserve his favor, that we are something special in his eyes. And we reach this remarkably stupid conclusion, not by comparing ourselves to God's holy law, but by comparing ourselves to other sinners. We think that the Lord should grade on a scale, because we think that if he did, we'd be okay. We're church-going, decent, kind people, after all. We even come to the church when it snows outside. We might not be perfect, but have you seen how other people live? At least we're not like them. Repent. You are like them. You are sinners who deserve exactly what they deserve. You confess it every week, but you often don't consider it to be true, for you are filled with doubts and unbelief. You confess that you deserve God's temporal and eternal wrath and punishment, and you do. That's it. That's all you deserve. You've earned nothing more than that. As the hymn we just sung put it, our works are worth nothing. If God grades on a scale, you get the same failing grade as every other sinner. If you reap what you sow, hell is your destination. If you want God to judge you fairly, step right up onto the scales. You will not like the measurement, I promise you. The Lord saves a humble people, but those with haughty eyes he brings down. What further reveals our depravity is that when we hear preaching like this, we think it's depressing and not very inspiring. We'd rather have our itching ears scratched and our egos stroked. Give us 10 steps to follow or a 3-point plan to increase our blessings. Show us how to be better workers in the Lord's vineyard. What can we do for you, God? We want to be your servants after all, and we want you to be proud of us. All this talk of sin and how unworthy we are is a real downer. We don't need to keep hearing it. We know we're sinners. Tell us something positive. Why do you begrudge the Lord's generosity? He seeks to give you what you cannot earn. He desires to save you despite your wickedness. He invites you into his vineyard to gift you with his grace. Why do you grumble against him? Why do you want him to lie to you and tell you that you're okay just how you are and that he loves you because you're so special? Why do you want him to deceive you or to give in to your own self-deception and tell you that at least you're better than others? Why do you want him to give you 10 steps or a 3-point plan to do what you cannot do? Here, take what belongs to you and go. Repent. Dear friends in Christ, listen to our Lord. His kingdom is not of this world. Heed his call. Repent and believe. Grace is a wonderful, awesome, unbelievable thing. But it isn't cheap. It is not something to be taken for granted, and it is not yours by right. Grace is expensive. It cost God his own Son, who came down from heaven to assume our flesh in order to live and die in our place, to do all the things we fail to do, so that his work would be credited to us. Grace, undeserved favor, is available because Jesus willingly went to the cross to shed his holy and innocent blood for we who are guilty, for all sinners of all time, that he might receive the punishment we deserve and we might receive forgiveness, life, and salvation through his sacrificial work. Grace was won by the Son, who was forsaken by the Father and endured all his wrath and punishment for the sin of all time. Grace is anything but cheap. It's the most costly thing ever. And it's only for sinners. That's why the Lord must preach to us time and time again the stern and holy and perfect law which accuses us. Grace is only for those who are brought to recognize how undeserving they are of the salvation won by Christ. Grace is only for those who know how unworthy they really are. A humble and contrite, sorrowful heart the Lord does not despise. But the Lord is no universalist. He doesn't turn a blind eye towards sin. The self-righteous and proud and unrepentant cut themselves off from the grace freely offered through Christ. It is not because they are more sinful. It is because they refuse to confess and turn from their sins. They buy into the 10-point plan and 3-point plans. They will get their just reward. They will be told to take what belongs to them and leave the vineyard of the Lord that they might dwell in the devil's kingdom where sinners get exactly what they deserve. If you want to go that way, if you want to go down the path of works and worldly kingdom principles, you will end up in the devil's lair. As for you, repent and believe. Run the race of the Christian life, that you might obtain the prize. That is, recognize your sinfulness and your desperate need of a Savior. Cling to Jesus, the rock who was struck, from which the water came gushing forth. The water that baptized you into his death and resurrection, the water that continuously absolves you of your sins and leads you to the holy altar, where you receive the washing of his very body and blood in the Holy Supper. Cling to Jesus as the Savior you need. Come to him, all you who are heavy laden and burdened with your sins, and he will give you rest. Seek him, all you who know his name and are needy and poor, for he will make you rich unto eternal salvation in his kingdom of grace. Grace is the most exciting thing ever. It is completely awesome. We cannot earn heaven, but Jesus Christ has earned it for us. We do not deserve salvation, but our Lord Jesus Christ has made us worthy. God doesn't owe us a thing, but he gives us the kingdom established by his Son's blood, that we might live and reign with him forever. It's not fair. It's grace. Thank God for that. For if we sinners got what we deserved, we would perish eternally in hell. But we're given as a free gift what Jesus has won for us. That's grace. And it is for sinners like you and me. It is the best news ever. It is the only way to heaven. There is no other name besides the name of Jesus under which men must be saved. And this, dear friends, is what it means to work in the vineyard, to believe in Jesus, whose work counts as your own. When the Jews asked Jesus, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" he replied, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." That's the message of the parable. The reason all the workers are paid the same from the first hour to the 11th is because the work is simply faith in Christ. And the same salvation is delivered to all who believe. One Lord, one baptism, one faith, one God and Father of us all. So we pray this Sunday, when we begin our preparation for the holy and penitential season of Lent, that we would always pray the prayer of the offertory that we sing in just a couple of minutes, especially focusing on these words: "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." For grace, properly understood, grace given to you by the Holy Spirit, grace that fills you with the faith to believe, knows the joy of the salvation you have in Christ. The Israelites grumbled against and tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The answer for us sinful grumblers and testers is yes. The Lord is among us, here to dish out his grace and strengthen our faith with his very body and blood. There is nothing more awesome than that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And renew our right.
Holy Church, that all who labor in her vineyard, whether for a moment or for a lifetime, may receive the reward prepared for her. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor in the church as leaders, especially Matthew, our Synod President, David, our District President, Michael, our Circuit Visitor, Thomas, our pastor, and all pastors in Christ, that they may remain faithful to the Holy Scriptures and Lutheran confessions in all they say and do, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of our congregations, especially this congregation, that we would repent of any grumbling or quarreling or testing of the Lord's bountiful goodness and receive from him all good things that he gives us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For godly schools, especially our synods, day schools, colleges, universities, and seminaries, that those who study and those who serve in them may drink from the spiritual rock of Jesus Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the people of the world, especially the people of our country, for those who serve in our government, for those who serve in our armed forces at home and abroad, including Gabriel Blair, Derek Brown, Dustin Majewski, Christopher Schaub, and Justin Wyborn, and for those who work to bring peace among the nations, that warfare would cease and peace abound among mankind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and suffering, those who are hospitalized, homebound, or hurting in every physical or mental illness, especially for those who have requested our prayers, including Bill Harmon, Marlene Wiltshire, Maxine Isaacson, Marlene Miller, Ella Shaw, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Scott McCollum, Landon Culp, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Cull, Tyler Duvall, Phil Warsop, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Schaub, Pastor Dan Chambers, Rosemary Reichart, Sally Messer, Michelle Johnson, Matt Baughman, Chris Woodrow, Miriam Sohn, Cameron Snell, David Gursky, Jack Standen, Jane Tennant, John Lemmerman, and Betty Guder. That Christ, the great physician, would bring them healing, hope, and peace at the last, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those receiving the very body and blood of Christ in the Holy Eucharist this day, that their participation in the sacrament of the altar would bestow on them forgiveness of sins and everlasting life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have gone before us in the faith, including our dear sister Joan Birch, who was called home by our Lord last night, that we would rejoice with them in the final harvest of souls on Judgment Day and have a blessed reunion in heaven, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
Salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy,
as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The very body of Christ given for you. 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 Jeffrey, the Lord bless and keep you in your baptismal vows all the days of your life. Amen. The very body of Christ given for you. 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 Thank you. holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thank you. much fun.
We are
all.